Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan Flagtober is on, the 2025 edition, the best ever. You can pick one up tomorrow with KNC Masterpiece at Tolbert Garage Door, and with us, cold beers and cheeseburgers on Friday. Let's talk some hockey as ESPN's Greg Wyshynski joining us now here on The Fan. Happy hockey season, Greg. How the heck are you?
Busier, I think would be the word I would use. I'm much busier than I was probably about a month ago. It's kind of a quiet off season, if we're being honest. And then business has certainly picked up, not only with the start of the season, but now everybody signing their contracts, including significant ones on last week.
What do you think of the Stars off season? Did they maybe reduce their talent base a little bit? What's the outlook for them right now, looking at their roster?
Well, I have my standings predictions for the NHL on ESPN.com right now. You could check out. I've got the Stars second in the Central Division behind Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, still an extremely talented team. You know, I am concerned a little bit by the defection of talent. You know, Granlund leaving, the Marchment deal, Dadonov leading. There's a few goals and points that have walked out the door in the last few months for the Stars. And, you know, I think there's a chance we could see some Matt Duchene regression this year. And you're hoping that the playoffs were an aberration insofar as Wyatt Johnston's offensive output. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I think there's been a bit of a decrease in overall talent level on the team. Could they fill those holes with younger players? That remains to be seen. And, of course, the biggest question is removing Pete DeBoer as head coach, removing the Dallas Stars from the conference final, which they've reached a lot of times with Pete DeBoer before he departed ways.
Yeah, I saw you. You took the Avs there, Greg, to win the cup. And hey, I'm not going to hold it against you. You've been high on our Stars before. It's a good pick. I'm not necessarily in disagreement with you, but let's talk about Gulley. I mean, do you think Glenn Gulletson can really change, I guess, some of the woes that we've seen the Stars hit when it comes to the conference final, specifically maybe physicality wise?
Yeah, there's that. And there's also just some concerns about, you know, what his teams looked like in previous head coaching gigs. I mean, the idea that all of a sudden he's going to come in and this team is, along with the defection of talent, going to maybe score fewer goals is kind of a tough pill to swallow based on how the Stars have played in previous seasons. But I'm a big fan of guys getting second and third chances as head coaches. I know that there's a certain reaction from some fans when they see the same names over and over again, that it's, you know, retreads or whatever, but it takes a few times for guys to figure stuff out. I think Pete DeBoer is a really good example of that, where he had to kind of fall on his face once before he figured out exactly what to do as a head coach. So I like the fact that Gulley's got, you know, familiarity with the organization. I like the fact that he's learned under some pretty good coaches and you know, had teams that went on long playoff runs recently in Edmonton to experience that as well. And I'm optimistic that there won't be a fall off behind the bench with him back in Dallas.
Do you think this is the year that Jake Oettinger finally gets the Vezina?
hopefully it's the year where he's not thrown under the bus by his coach at the end of the playoffs. Yeah. I think that's the bar that we can set for Otter right now. You know, it's obviously going to be a pretty crowded field. You're still going to have Connor Hellebuck getting the lion's share of the credit for what the Winnipeg Jets do. I'm pretty high on the Tampa Bay Lightning this year, and if that's the case, you'd have to assume that Andrei Vasilevskiy is going to get a lot of love for the Vezina as well. And, you know, there's a few other people around the league, depending on how well their teams play, that could be in the mix as well. But look, he's a special goalie. I think that there is there's a surprising amount of sentiment amongst some people I've talked to with an affinity for USA Hockey that believe that he might have the greater mental toughness in big spots versus Hellebuck when it comes to potentially being the guy for Team USA in the 2026 Olympics. So look, he's got a lot of fans. I mean, the numbers will bear out whether he can win the Vezina as well as the Stars' place in the standings, but you know, he'll certainly be in the mix.
What do you think the ceiling is for a guy like Thomas Harley? Like, do you think he could be like a top five D-man in the sport?
Sky's the limit, man. I think I had him in my top five for the Norris last year. He's real good. And, you know, when you think about him and he's getting on the back end, it really, you know, is an encouraging part of the Stars lineup, even if, you know, there's still always going to be a clarion call for there to be a bit more toughness back there for the playoffs. But yeah, he's terrific. And I think that his exponential growth as an elite defenseman in this league has been marvelous to see.
He'll be a restricted free agent after this year, and so will Jason Robertson. And I guess that was kind of the hot rumor this offseason with Robo, maybe trades, but that didn't happen. Do you think the Stars are able to get deals done with both of them?
I was trying to figure out why we heard that, you know, with Robertson. Like, I feel like part of it was probably a little bit of – there's always a little bit of negotiating ploy when you're dealing with you know, a player that needs a new contract, and you wonder – you know, when speculation that like that starts, where is it coming from and why is it happening? I think also that, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that if they were able to acquire a piece that they really needed, let's say like a somebody in the middle, that, you know, they potentially would put him in the trade, but it would have to be an overwhelming player available to do that with a guy that can score like that. But I mean, they've consistently shut down the idea that he was being shopped or that he was out, you know, on his way out. So you have to assume that that he's going to be here for the long term. And, you know, obviously when you have restricted free agents, you're not all that worried about someone, you know, leaving unless they're offer sheeted. And I think that the Stars will probably take care of their business.
Greg Wyshynski's with us here, the Puck Daddy. Okay. What could happen realistically to close the gap towards the top, and, you know, specifically looking at Edmonton and obviously Colorado here in the division? I mean, and should they consider moving a pick again, or do you have to shut that down for a while you see what develops?
I tend to believe that their contention window is still open. I mean, like we talked about, there's been some turnover on the roster, but that doesn't necessarily always mean it's a bad thing. You know, I think with that said, they've got some young players that are going to be able to really make an impact this year, whether it's, you know, Bichelle or Maverick Bork or whomever. And, you know, the West is top heavy, but I think Dallas is part of it being top heavy. There's only like, you know, four teams that I think you can cement into the playoffs, the LA Kings maybe being the fifth. I don't think this is a time to really pivot or transition away from putting the pedal down and trying to win a cup when you've got your veteran core still in place.
What'd you think of that Connor McDavid deal with Edmonton? And I wonder if they're not able to get something done in 2 years, and assuming Glenn Gullitson is here, their relationship, do you think if McDavid were to leave, the Stars could possibly be a favorite in the running to acquire his services?
We'll get to that. I should also mention that, like, when you trade for Mikko Rantanen and sign him to that contract, it usually does not portend that you're going to retool. So, I mean, they're definitely in a contention mode as we speak.
I just thought they were whooped so sufficiently by Edmonton, and the skill gap was there and the physicality gap was there starkly on television. And, you know, I said in the opening statement, I thought they reduced their talent. I think the Stars would have to do something.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Than to convince me they're a real contender, not a pretender.
I don't disagree. I do think that before we get to McDavid, that they do want to see where some of these young pieces fit on the roster and see, you know, what they have there before they can go out and maybe address more stuff at the trade deadline. Obviously, Jim Nill has never hesitated to try to improve his team by any means necessary. So we'll see what they have. But I mean, there's enough on that roster where, like I said, I think they're still easily top five in the conference. Maybe top four, maybe top three, and then you can kind of go from there. As far as McDavid goes, the two-year term was something that I had reported. It was trending that way for a while, that he had sort of decided that was his window for trying to contend in Edmonton, you know, this year, and then two more. And then we'll see what happens after that. I mean, if they win and he's comfortable there, who the heck knows? If they don't, it's pretty obvious he's going to, you know, test unrestricted free agency or go find someplace else to play. The money was the shocker. And, you know, the $2.5 million, I didn't think he would make less than Leon Draisaitl against the cap, even giving the Oilers a hometown discount. So the money was kind of shocking. What you've done with Gullitson is what everybody is trying to do right now over the next couple of years in drawing lines to McDavid, you know, his former GMs in Los Angeles, right. His favorite coaches in Dallas. I mean, there's going to be a lot of that going on. I mean, he grew up in Ontario. Will he become a Leaf? There's a lot of that going on. And at the very least, Connor's probably kicked that to maybe September 2027, as far as like when this speculation really heats up again, but it's always going to be there with unrestricted free agency looming in 2028.
Hey, Greg, you're so good at this stuff. What's the one thing you fear the most you're being wrong about when the season starts?
Well, in full disclosure, I did a radio hit with our friends in St. Louis on the day that I predicted they'd miss the playoffs. And I am now fearing a bunch of Budweiser swilling people on the back of Clydesdales coming to my house with torches. I look at my standings predictions. I look at the predictions for the season. I think I'm right on a lot of it. There's some stuff like Utah, for example. I think I'm pretty high on them, higher than most, where I would love to see, you know, Stanley Cup playoff hockey come to Salt Lake City. And for that, you know, new NHL town to kind of experience the best part of the season. But they might be too young. Like, their core is really extremely talented, but they might be a little bit green to make that kind of leap right now. If there's one that I'm hoping I'm right on, it's that. And also hoping that that we maybe see a different mix in the final. I mean, I have Colorado over Carolina in the final for the Stanley Cup. Those are obviously not the Florida Panthers or the Edmonton Oilers. and due respect to those two franchises and due respect to the idea that we could get, you know, our first full-fledged three-in-a-row dynasty since the Islanders in the early 1980s, if Florida wins again, it'd be nice to kind of just see some different teams in the mix, even if in Colorado's case it's a team that won fairly recently.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, five teams maybe that you could pencil in the West. Is the Western Conference maybe not quite as deep as you've seen it in years past? It seems like the road to the Cup in the West has just been a gauntlet, having watched the Stars the last 3 years.
Yeah, it is a gauntlet. And when I say five teams, I just mean maybe four or five teams that are cut above a bunch of really, really good teams. Like, I mean, if you matched up the conferences, I think the path to make the playoffs in the East is a lot easier than the path to make the playoffs in the West. It's one of the reasons why I still have Florida in the playoffs, despite losing Matthew Tkachuk until at least December, maybe January, and then losing Sasha Barkov for the regular season. Like, that would devastate a team that was playing in the West. But because, you know, there is this cushion of like the Penguins and the Flyers and, you know, Detroit and others, where you can kind of mine points from those teams, I think they're going to be fine. In the West, you know, like, if you look at the bubble right now, you've got Utah, St. Louis, Minnesota, Winnipeg, Vancouver, maybe Anaheim if they reach a different level this season under Joel Quenneville. Like, it is a meat grinder to try to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, and especially in the Central Division. So I think that the journey is still an arduous one for anybody who makes it out of that conference.
Greg Rushinsky, ESPN, with us here talking Dallas Stars and NHL hockey. All right, when it comes to the Stars, do you like the current Victory Green sweaters, or would you prefer them to go back to the old ones they won the Cup in?
I like the ones they wear now. And you know, I know there's an inherent nostalgia for the older ones. I mean, if we're being honest, obviously my favorite Stars jersey is the Muterus. And that should be their primary jersey. I think we could all agree. But the color scheme is so distinct and unique. And obviously, having covered a bunch of games down there during the playoffs, the way that they lean into the whole Victory Green thing is really cool too. Plus, if you change the jersey, then you're going to have to like rename the mascot probably. So you don't want to do that.
It's a lot that goes into it.
Hey, Greg, the other day we were kind of laughing. I mean, it was funny at the time. I wanted to ask somebody that's on the side of it. Ben McDonald, they were doing a promote on ESPN about hockey, and they were kind of selling it, you know, opening day and all that. And Ben's like, I'm not watching it. I don't care about that. What any thoughts about stuff like that when somebody says something like that about hockey? You know, like that's something that's your passion, your love, your livelihood.
Well, getting beyond the whole guy who works for my network saying don't watch something on the network part of it. Right. It's honestly not anything that, you know, a hockey fan in the U.S. hasn't heard their entire lives, right? There's a certain glee that people take when they say they don't watch hockey. It's kind of a punchline. It's like it's almost like it becomes kind of a badge of honor to not watch it, right? Because they think it's uncool, or they don't know anybody who follows it, or they don't know anybody who's played it. And this is something that, again, fans in the U.S. have had to deal with forever. It's nothing new. And it's something that a lot of emerging sports have to deal with. I mean, I think if you guys remember, like within the last 5 years pre-Caitlin Clark, people would have the same reactions to the WNBA. And now that, you know, that league sets records, like every time there's a game, it seems like. So it's a bummer. You'd wish it could be different. And you certainly wish that a national broadcast on your own network doesn't air those sentiments. But it is what it is.
I think we're heading here for a relocation, maybe up north to the suburb of Frisco. What do you think about a hockey team's moving out of the city?
Yeah, I saw that. I was bummed, man. Again, that's sort of me being a creature of habit and having covered so many playoff races at that arena downtown that I'm just like, I know how to do it. I don't want to have to relearn where stuff is. I read the comments from the team about, you know, maybe trying to move closer to where the fan base is and things like that. And you know, ultimately, I'm sure a lot of this has to do with the Mavericks' plans and all that going on too. So, I don't know. It caught me by surprise, for lack of a real handle on the geography of things down there, I will say that as a sort of a rule of thumb, I much prefer a downtown arena or an arena in a city center than I do arena elsewhere. So, that's personal preference, and I'm sure there's probably counter arguments. Localized that I'm not thinking of, but that was my first reaction to it.
Frisco's getting pretty popping up there, though. I think you'll like your hotels and restaurants and stuff. It is always kind of sad, I think, a little bit when it leaves the city that it's named after, though.
It's more about leaving the city, I think. I'm not trying to crap on our friends, you know, in Frisco. Like, there's something to be said. I don't think they're moving out to the boonies like the Coyotes did for a while. Where, you know, they ruin the franchise by moving a billion miles away from where the fans are. I'll give you an example. Like the Washington Capitals, when I went to school in Maryland, used to play in Landover, which is in Maryland, and it's nowhere near Washington, D.C. And then they moved to D.C., right by Chinatown, in the arena that they're still in, and immediately became cool. Like the coolness factor and being just in the heart of Washington, D.C. and being accessible through mass transit and all that other stuff, it kind of helped transform the franchise right around when Ovechkin arrived. It all kind of melded together. If he was out in the suburbs doing the things he did, I don't know if it would have had the same coolness factor as it did playing in a downtown arena.
Well, you're the man, Greg. Thank you for your thoughts and enjoy this season. We'll try to catch up with you soon.
Thanks, as always. I appreciate it.
There he goes. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski there. The Puck Daddy, been killing it. And he joined us last year during the playoff run, and salute to him for helping us bring in another hockey season. Stars and Jets tomorrow night in Winnipeg. All righty, we got the C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening and top storylines with this football team as they get set to visit Carolina. We're back with that here on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.